So, welcome back, you guys. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. Pat mentored me, and she's kind of famous in the Orange County, Los Angeles County area. She's been on Shaws of Sunset. She's been on Millionaire Matchmaker. She's mostly retired now. But she mentored me and she taught me the tools of androgynous semantic realignment. I also learned from her the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. And since I've been doing this work for over 10 years now, I have created my own tools in addition. So these are the things that we are going to be working with tonight and that I'm going to introduce you to tonight. The scholarship and the underpinnings of this work are very established psychologically, scientifically. That part's not new. What's really new and unique about this work are the tools to execute on a lot of that scholarship. Because for most people, the experience of going to a therapist, which usually you go when you need to get help or you want to solve something in your life or you're not happy. But a lot of times, what it becomes is talking to somebody, and they don't say that much. They may reflect things back to you, and that's a very valuable experience. But after a while, if your life doesn't change, it starts to feel like a waste of time. Anyways, that's what happened to me. I had stopped really getting anything out of therapy. So when I found this work, I was thrilled because I saw results like I had never seen before in anybody else doing any other kind of like spiritual or psychological work. I had a neighbor who really turned her life around in the space of 3 years, like went from being a teenage single mom to getting like a dream job, marrying an incredible guy. And when I saw that, my mind was opened to seeing what she had changed in her life. Because I had kind of like not really respected her that much before that. And that's how I found this work. I was actually just really unhappy. I was already married, but I didn't know what was wrong. And when I first heard this work and heard about this work, I knew there was something there, but I didn't really understand it. And it took me a little while. So if this is your first night, it does take a minute. It does take repetition, but it will start to sink in. And what I'm going to do is give you a little bit of a background on the principles upon which this work is based. And then I'm going to spend most of the night taking your questions so that we can see how the theory gets married with the tools and what's actually happening in your life and in your life experiences. And that's how we really begin to change our lives. So if you want to see change in your life, you're in the right place. Okay, so when we talk about relationships and specifically about problems in relationships, we're usually talking about childhood trauma, and that can happen between the ages of 0 to 12. And whatever happens during this time period has a more power over us than almost anything else that will happen in our lives after that, simply because it's occurring during critical human development windows. Okay. In fact, actually, in the DSM handbook for psychology, which is basically the handbook they use to diagnose psychological conditions, there's a movement afoot, and my mentor, Pat Allen, is a big, big part of this, to classify PTSD from childhood as its own thing. Because right now, PTSD is there and it is classified as a disability, but there's such a unique experience to people who have PTSD from childhood that there's a movement to single that one out. And basically, what happens when we're children is that because we're very dependent as human infants, we often have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to attach to the people who are taking care of us. And in so doing, we form what are known as survival conclusions. And we believe that these are existential truths. But when we carry them into our adult life, we find that we're repeating the patterns of our childhood that we didn't like. And if we had any kind of childhood trauma, that tends to turn up first in our intimate relationships. So I also help people a lot with ending self-sabotage, ending patterns that you don't even know, that you're not even aware of in some cases, or are just beginning to be aware of that you know aren't serving you. So that happens because of a phenomenon known as repetition compulsion. We are drawn to that which is familiar. There's an excellent example of this. I don't know if any of you guys are reality TV fans, but if you've watched the second season of Vanderpump Villa on Hulu, there is a very toxic relationship between Ciotti and Siana. And it's clear that he doesn't treat her well and is abusive to her, yet she keeps returning, even though she complains. And that's a really good example of the repetition compulsion. And when I saw that, without knowing Siana's background at all, I already know that she's comfortable with a certain level of pain, that at some point she's learned that pain is intertwined with love. And that's why she's willing to accept these things from Ciotti and even go back, because the comfort of the familiarity. And so a lot of what I help people with is breaking that comfort of familiarity with them so that they can take steps into new ways of being, which is incidentally, the title of my second book. I've written four books on this work. I put those in the chat. They're all available on Amazon. My first book, How to Live, is really the handbook about this work. And then the rest of the books, the next one is New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. Once you start doing this work, please anticipate that it will be painful, because even changes for the better are painful. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And when you're doing therapeutic work, you encounter pain and you're like, oh no, I'm not doing that anymore. And that ends up setting you back. And so I also guide people through the pain of change and differentiating between whether it's the pain of change or the pain that change needs to take place, because there's two kinds of pain, and sometimes that can be confusing. Okay, so going back to childhood trauma, what happens from childhood trauma, like I said, is we develop certain habits, and a lot of these habits don't serve us. And one of the main things that happens in terms of habits is we become what's known as ego dystonic, meaning Basically, meaning that women go masculine and men go feminine. There's a lot of misunderstanding about masculine and feminine, so I want to give a brief description of those terms. I'll also use yin and yang sometimes, yin being feminine and yang being masculine, simply because feminine and masculine are sometimes very charged terms. And by the way, sometimes you're born with feminine organs. But you're more masculine authentically in terms of your energy. And sometimes you're born with male organs and you're more feminine authentically in terms of your energy. And that's okay. That happens like 15 to 25% of the time. The important thing is the balance between the two, because everybody is both. Everybody's both feminine and masculine. We all of us have a right brain, which is the yin side, the world of feelings, the world of magic, creativity, sensuality, sexuality. This is the world of feeling, receiving, being taken care of, passive, patient, vulnerable. Feminine energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And a good metaphor for feminine energy is flowers. And then all of us have a masculine side or a left brain, the yang energy, which is the seat of our single-mindedness. It is competitive, conquering, controlling. Masculine energy is very much of the world. It is doing, taking care of, giving. Most of us are in our masculine energy when we're at work. because we're achieving, we're trying to impress, we're co often competing with other people. But some of us want to be in our feminine energy when we're in our personal life. And I help a lot of women make that switch, especially very successful women, from the masculine to the feminine in their personal and private life. The most successful relationships are those that are balanced between masculine and feminine energy, and that includes the relationship between yourself. So when you're egodystonic, that is effectively out of balance. And the archetypes I like to illustrate egodystonia are often Peter Pan and Wendy. You have Wendy, who has been masculinized at a young age, who's been forced to take care of everybody, who's the junior mom, right? Who does everything. And then you have Peter Pan, who has been feminized, who lacks responsibility, who can't be relied upon, who can't keep his word necessarily, can't make a commitment. And so we often see these archetypes showing up with regard to romantic relationships. Okay, that's my spiel. Now I'm going to take your questions. You can raise your hand or you can put a question in the chat. And if you're here, I know you have some questions about your love life. It can be something general, it can be something specific. I also like to get your updates so everybody can learn from that. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Welcome. How can I help you?
I had a question. I think like 1 or 2 weeks ago, somebody was asking about this. The question they were asking was about getting like intimate with somebody they were in a relationship with, and then you're advising them to not get intimate up front because of the bonding that happens, you know,
Yes,
like
for
you.
women.
Yes, for women. I just want to know, is it the same for men? Like, if they're in a relationship, is the bonding thing same for them as it is for women?
Good question. So, if the man is I know you've been here before, so you know that men and women go through changes, right, as they get older. So 45 or 50, when your hormones start to drop off, then I would say men over 50 are a little bit more vulnerable to that. Men under 50 aren't that vulnerable to that. So
Okay.
you might find an older man where that happens, but for the most part, it's mostly women. But even like, you know, ev but as women get older, you might be less vulnerable to that. You understand?
I do. My question is like if you said it takes 2 years to get
Up
like if
to,
you
yes.
yeah, up to 2 years to forget about that or like move
Well,
on, you
it's the
know.
oxytocin detox that happens in the brain because when women have intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, we tend to bond at the short hair site. That's what Pat would say, at the short hair site. So from sexual contact, intercourse, we women will often, it doesn't always happen, but it often happens that we find ourselves then bonded to someone even we know isn't good for us. But it can take up to 2 years of oxytocin detox. That bonding happens in our brains, right? Oxytocin is released in the brain upon penetration, is basically what happens. And so that's it, you're just setting yourself up for a greater challenge that way.
Okay, I see. So
You
for
know,
men, I get it now. For men under 50, they don't have that hormone thing. So it's not
right.
going to be 2 years. It could be like, I don't know, a year or 6 months. They
Well, they
don't
might
have that.
not bond at all.
Oh,
No.
okay.
Because you really need a good amount of estrogen to do that bonding, for that oxytocin, for that chain reaction to happen.
I see. Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. Good question. So yeah, we change, you know, as we. So you might have an authentic balance that you have at 25 that is slightly different at 55. Okay. Betsy.
Hello.
Hi,
I
Betsy.
called.
Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. I've been really sick, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to respond to your email yet.
Oh, no worries.
I called in 2 weeks ago, and about my boyfriend, who, well, now ex, I think, but he slowly started to. We're long distance, and he slowly started to put in like less and less and less effort. Our phone calls were really short and minimal, and he would always say, "I love you and I miss you so much." And
Yes, I
but
remember. And so that was drawing you out to keep reaching out because he wasn't.
yeah,
Okay.
so it's been 2 weeks now. I haven't heard back from him, and which is the longest we've gone without speaking in like the
What was
last.
the last contact?
I called him. I sent him a picture of the two of us on the beach, and he just put a little heart on it. And then I called him that evening, and he had just woken up from a nap, and he was kind of grumpy, and he was needed to go and go somewhere or something. And so I just said, "Okay, we'll talk later. Talk to you later."
Right.
And
Okay. So you were still kind of pursuing in that zone.
yeah, and so
Right.
I feel like I have been just hanging on and hanging on to these little tiny crumbs that he's been giving me for so long. And I'm starting to detach, and the thing that's really bothering me, and I don't know if you can help with this, but there was never any closure. And I don't feel like reaching out to him and being like, "Hey, let's talk about this," because I'm just kind of done. It's
Yeah.
he can't talk about it anyways, and he's being a total coward. And like I was going through a lot with my health and stuff, and he
Right, you
couldn't
were sick.
handle it. Yeah, and I'm going
Did
through
he know you were sick?
perimenopause. Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
okay. So that
And
is a bad sign because he's not cherishing your feelings even when you're sick.
he doesn't cherish my feelings, especially when I'm sick or going through something.
Oh.
So there was never any talk like, "Hey, I love you, but I think we need to break up." It was just like, "You
That's
just
okay.
don't talk
That's
anymore."
okay. Okay, so
There
a
was
couple
no
things I want
official
to tell you.
breakup. It hurts.
I know. I get it, but I'm so proud of you for backing off because now we see, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I told you this last time, but he's got 8 weeks. Please do not reach out to him for 6 more weeks.
Okay.
Okay? Why am I saying 8 weeks? We had somebody in here recently who had tested it and it like went to the exact day of 8 weeks. But 8 weeks is the average amount of time it takes the head and the heart to ruminate. Okay? So when I say he's got 8 weeks, it means if the first 2 weeks, if he reaches out within the first 2 weeks, geez, he really likes you. If it takes him a month, he's a little conflicted. If he gets to 6 to 8 weeks, he likes you, but he's pissed about it. Okay. But we're gonna wait because, like you said, you don't want to reach out to him again. And there's no reason for you to make yourself vulnerable to him now. He has
Right.
shown you who he is. He doesn't care
Yeah.
if you're sick. Okay. And I know that's painful to hear, but we need to know these things so we can make decisions. Right. So
Yeah.
nevertheless, you're not going to do anything in terms of reaching out to him at this time. There's a tool that I teach. It's called the Hi Bye Letter. It's actually in my first book. It might even be on my website. But what I want you to do is write him a Hi Bye Letter. Whether we send it or not, we will decide later. But I want you to write him a letter so that you can have the catharsis that you need. Okay. And when you write it, assume you're going to send it. And that will help give you closure. Closure is something that happens within you. You don't need him for that. So the letter is as follows. The first paragraph is, "Dear so and so, I am writing to, we haven't talked in a while, and I wanted to give you my impressions about our relationship," or "I'm writing to give you an overview of what happened for me in our relationship," or whatever it is. You can massage it a little bit, but it's basically, "I wanted to talk to you about our relationship. We haven't talked in a while. Then you're gonna tell him all that the next paragraph is, paragraph two, all the things that you liked about him. You like that he said, I love you. You like that he, made you a candy cane house or, whatever he did that you liked. Let your imagine, let your mind roam. Remember all the things you liked. That's one paragraph, okay? The second paragraph is going to be all the things that you didn't like about him. Okay? So this is going to be like you didn't like that he didn't call you when you were sick. You didn't like that he ghosted you. You didn't like that he forced you to reach out because he was not there. You didn't think he was transparent with you. So all the things that made you feel bad. And since I know you are coming from the feminine position, because we discussed that, I want you to lead all these things. I want to be led with feelings. I felt bad when you abandoned me at the bus stop or, whatever it was. Okay. And then paragraph four are going to be the things that you want in a relationship going forward. Okay. So this is a little more general. So this is not necessarily going to be about him, but it's going to be regular contact, somebody who cares when I'm sick, whatever those things are. And then the fifth paragraph, oh no, the f wait, one, two, three. The next paragraph is going to be, what is it, five? Okay. Yeah, it's six paragraphs. So the fifth paragraph is going to be all the things that you, wait, what did I say? So it's like, don't like, then all the things you want in a relationship, and all the things, the next paragraph is all the things you don't want in a relationship. So that could be general, whether he did that or not. I don't want somebody who doesn't own a home, or I don't want somebody who m forgets my birthday, or whatever it is. And then the last paragraph is going to be, I've learned so much from getting to know you. I wish you all the best. Thank you for the lessons, Betsy. Okay. This tool. I have seen this tool is really good for any defunct relationship, but if there's any life in him yet, this will coax it out. It will also bring you a catharsis. So you may be crying when you do this. You may be sweating when you do this. I want you to put everything into this, and really like let yourself go with it. Then, if you feel when you're finished with the letter, so you're going to write it now, but we're not going to send it now anyways, right? Because we're at least going to wait 8 weeks total. Then after you write the letter, you can either come back to group and read it here. You can have a private with me and we can just, and you can read it to me on the private. A lot of times these letters are very beautiful. They don't need a lot of editing. Sometimes people don't really understand and they've written something that isn't exactly what this is. But this letter is meant that if there's any hope for him, that he will respond to something in this letter. And if he doesn't, we know we've done all we can. Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
That's called the hi bye letter, by the way.
And why, like, why do people do that? Why do they just, why is he, I know you can't say exactly why, but like, why someone that it was like my rock and man, my main lifeline, who was telling me he loved me multiple times a day, how does he just cut it off? Is that insecure masculine thing, or?
I mean, it could, my gut instinct is he met someone else who lives closer. Usually men drop because they want to be in a win with someone else. Women will break up because they're unhappy. Men usually hang in there unless they meet someone else. So that would be my first guess. Obviously, it could be any number of things. It could be what you said. He could have, he, you know, this is where your childhood trauma comes up. He may have unprocessed childhood trauma. He can't be
For
honest with
sure.
himself. He can't be honest. I mean, most people are fixers. So the important thing is if he's teachable, we're going to find out if he's teachable from this hi bye letter. So
He's
far,
not. He's not.
yeah, so far
He's
he doesn't
not.
seem. He so far he doesn't seem to.
No. No, he cannot. No, he's not. That's the thing, is the suggestion you gave last time. I was like, yeah, I don't think it's he's gonna budge. I really don't. I think he's a workaholic, and he's the other woman is his job, and he's
That's
just obsessed
possible. Yeah.
as
You know, and sometimes men start to have feelings, then they decide they don't like that. You know, they get triggered too.
How do I stop my obsessive thinking about him?
Don't. It's very hard to stop thoughts because thoughts and feelings arise kind of organically. And if you get too self-conscious, you really mess yourself up. But just let the thoughts come and try to shift your focus. Think of something else. Remind yourself. It depends how often they're repeating. You know, in the beginning you might like talk back to it, because you don't want it to just have its own voice. But if it's just repeating and repeating, you gotta just go, okay, I hear you, and just, turn your attention to something else. Even focus on something neutral. Focus on the color green. Just have some water, even just taking a step in another direction. There's a couple like physical things you can do that will shift you. If it's really bad, take a cold shower, work out. A lot of times you'll get like a rush of adrenaline. Try to use that for, it's still energy. You can use it for something productive,
And if he does reach out, like my birthday is in a few days, if he does reach out and say, "Happy birthday, Betsy," like, do I
Well,
respond?
that's a really good question. Okay, so there's the thing. Holidays and birthdays, those are ritual strokes, right? It doesn't take a lot for somebody to go, "Happy birthday, Betsy." I might even reach out to say happy birthday, right? I mean, I don't know you, but like your grocer might say happy birthday, So it's really, of course, it's up to you. You could just heart it. I wouldn't give a big response. You could say I wouldn't say anything more than thank you. But you don't have to respond at all. You're not required to respond. He's not responding to you. He can try a little harder than happy birthday, bestie. Right?
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
So
definitely.
yeah, that's all. I just don't want you to
Got it.
reaching out to him and making yourself vulnerable because he doesn't deserve it.
No,
And you
doesn't.
know he doesn't deserve it. So if you were to do that, that would reflect a lack of self-esteem. And I know it's hard not to. You got to like sit on your hands. I mean, a lot of us women have
Oh,
taught,
yeah.
that we have more agency over some of these things than we actually do. We can't force him, So we can't control it. If we end up controlling it, like you started to try to do, it wasn't fulfilling for you. Because what you really want is for him to reach out. So when you reach out, that doesn't really satisfy it.
Yeah.
That's why I
And he
tell
will
women.
reach out, but it's for like 5, 10 minutes, and he's got to go do the next thing. He doesn't, we never have conversations longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's too
Oh,
little. That's not enough for you. I mean, maybe you can find someone closer to home.
I can. That's the next step.
Yeah, no, that's no, not the, that's happening now, concurrently. That's happening now because
Great.
he's kind of like missed it. He's vaporized, right? So, I mean, I'm not saying go ahead and have intercourse, but you could start dating now. You could start flirting now. Okay. I look forward to your update. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Good work. I'm proud of you for, sticking up for yourself and not continuing to chase.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really hard. Like a lot of us women, sometimes you have to sit on your hands. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you have to call me. Sometimes you need a cold shower to go on a run. Okay. So, who's next? Does anybody have? You guys can ask about other topics. My specialty is dating and relationships, but I do help people with family relationships. I help people with work situations, other kinds of conflicts, any kind of communication conflict. These tools really travel anywhere. I think I mentioned, or maybe some of you were there. We had somebody in here who has been using these tools really, and asking me questions only about her romantic relationship, but then used the tools on her mom and like had a really good success with it. So that's what I love, is that these tools can kind of like travel anywhere. Okay. Well, do you guys have any more questions about dating or flirting, or if you're in a relationship, communication problems, trends that you may have seen? Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, I had one more question for
Yeah,
you.
shoot.
I wanted to find out, what does this mean? Okay, if there is a guy who is, so when you're one-on-one with him, right, he is like polite and, engaging and like normal, okay, normal conversation. But when he's around his friends, like let's say there's two other people in addition to him around, then his stance towards you changes,
Guy
and
friends or
it's
girlfriends?
one of each.
Okay.
Then the stance changes, and then he sings in a different tune. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
No,
Like,
I know what you mean.
like he takes on the stance of whomever he feels like, whomever else, like he's not who he is one on one. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny. On Vanderpump Villa, Ciotti, that was exactly what he did. He actually went in with an English accent when he got hired, and then showed up with an American accent and a whole different personality when he came to work. So the interview, he was someone different than the person who showed up to work. And everybody was freaking out on that. It depends how dramatic it is. It can be a sign of sociopathic or psychopathic tendencies. Everybody does a little bit of code switching, right? You're not going to talk to your mom the same way you're going to talk to your lover, the same way you're going to talk to your child. But to have a dramatic departure, I think really does bring up questions of integrity. Don't
Integrity.
you?
Yeah, that's what I was
Yeah.
thinking.
I mean, ultimately, you have to be able to rely on somebody, right? On their
Right.
consistency, on their words and deeds lining up. This is a very big flag.
Okay. And are masculine, okay, because like I'm looking for a masculine man so I can be in my feminine. Is a masculine person in general easily, not easily swayed by other people? Like, is his motivation and his thinking coming internally, or like, you know what I mean? Like, is he,
Yes.
yes,
Well, men
okay.
are motivated by what they want. And so that needs to come across clearly. A lot of times people really don't know what they want. But when a man knows what he wants, obviously he's more likely to get it. And that does tend to be more attractive, right?
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good questions tonight. Okay. Nelson. Is this Nelson? Is your name Nelson? Zoom user.
Hello.
Hi. Is your name Nelson?
Yes, my name is Nelson.
Welcome, Nelson. How can I help you?
Thank you. It's good to be here. One thing that I've noticed in the dating scene is that women are not don't tend to put in the extra effort for quite some time. I'm saying over the span of a couple of last 10 years, I've noticed that they like to jump around a lot. They it seems like before there was more fight in them. So, like, if there was any type of alteration or argument, they would be more willing to work it out and even compromise. But nowadays, it seems like, okay, you want to argue? Well, I'm out of here and go to the next option, another next man. And it's really quite discouraging, to tell you the least.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have the tools for conflict resolution. So when conflict comes up, they just bail, right? They avoid it and then they just bail. I understand that must be a frustrating experience, but a lot of the tools that I teach are especially designed for conflicts and awkward situations. Is there a situation you're having happen now that we can troubleshoot?
No, I've just moved here to Milwaukee in January, and I just right now just re-engaging myself in the date scene, trying new things, especially this online dating stuff. But no, I've been single for like 6.5 years. It's
That's a
not
while.
Yeah, it is. And
Okay,
I don't
so
know.
what are you doing to meet women?
Right now, mostly it's been online. I've been engaging myself in numerous activities too since I've been here,
Okay.
but I'm slowly re engaging with the community and meeting new people. But I left a whole nother life back in Seattle, Washington, and it's came from a pretty toxic environment, and that's why I'm here in Milwaukee. I have family here, and trying to
Try to find someone. Okay.
and live a clean, sober life, and been
Are you recently sober?
oh yes, absolutely.
Oh, congratulations.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Good. Okay, well, good. Okay, so let me give you, can I give you some tips to help you meet somebody?
Absolutely, please.
Okay.
Please don't.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to make sure. Which energy do you think you're more authentic in? The feminine or the masculine? Do you want your feelings cherished or do you want your thoughts respected? Everybody wants both, but which do you want more?
My feelings cherished, yes.
Okay, so that would be more of the feminine or the yin position, okay? So you're going to be
Yes.
looking for a more masculine woman, which means like probably a career woman. Does that make sense?
Okay,
Is
not
that
ever
what you
thought
want?
about
Do you want
it
to
like
take
that.
care of someone or do you want to be taken care of?
No, I rather I
It's tough, right? You want
yeah, I
both.
mean I don't know, I think it could go both ways. I wanna
Yes, of course, of course. But this rubric really helps in awkward situations or like what you opened with. Conflicts because if you have two people trying to get their thoughts respected, that's two men fighting. That's a power struggle. If you have two people trying to get their feelings cherished, that's also a power struggle, but one for sympathy and for tears and for guilt. So the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between masculine and feminine. And when things are going well, you don't have to think about this all the time. But when you're meeting someone for the first time, you're getting to know them, first dates, having a conflict, awkward situations or conflicts, these tools really help. It really helps to know which is more important to you? Because if you're coming in trying to get in that moment your feelings cherished and your thoughts respected, then the other person has nowhere to go. They're a zero and you're a 10. And similarly, vice versa. If they're coming in with their thoughts and feelings, there's nowhere for you to go. And that's an act of narcissism. Often in those relationships, it can flip-flop. So they People will flip-flop between being a 10 or a zero. But technically, that's a codependent relationship, and I don't teach that. I teach negotiating with love. And so, what I look for when I help people is that balanced relationship, because that is what has been shown to have the best success rate. Does that make sense?
I'm getting it,
Okay,
yes.
good. Okay, cool.
It's It's being put into some perspective. I guess it's a matter of putting it into action, becoming familiar with it, at the moment,
Yes. Okay. So it might, and you could experiment with these two different approaches. I'm going to give you some in-person flirting tools, and you can try to do it from the feminine, and you can try to do it from the masculine and see which one you like better. You may even be different with different people. Sometimes I have people look, an alpha isn't a bully. An alpha is somebody who has a very strong masculine side and a very strong feminine side. And that's where these tools come in. To help navigate that conflict between the heart and the head. A lot of people are just one thing, and so they don't need these tools, right? They just know they're just gonna be girly. They just know they're gonna be manly, whatever it is, right? They're just one thing. They don't have an argument. But alphas have these two sides that are sometimes equally strong or very close to equally strong. That's when these tools come in handy. What you're going to do, he who speaks first is masculine. So if you want to be the approacher, then that's going to be you acting from the masculine. I want you to be flirting 5 days a week. This is called a tool called the Five Flirts. It's also in my first book. What you're going to do, four of those flirts are going to be in the course of your day. So you're walking your dog, you're going to the grocery store, you're getting a coffee, you see someone that you like the look of, you give her 5 seconds, or him or they, whatever, 5 seconds of eye contact and smile at the same time. If they respond, you can approach. If they respond favorably, not if they respond by walking away, if they respond with eye contact and smile for, not just quickly, but, gives it a moment, then you know they're interested and you can approach. If you don't get that, please don't approach.
Okay.
Because that's what women find creepy. It's like he looked at me, I looked away, and he still came over, right?
Right.
If you get that, you can approach. One day a week, I want you to plant yourself somewhere. Maybe it's a coffee shop outside of a yoga class where there's hot chicks. Maybe it's, maybe it's a dance, a dance class. Maybe it's, I have a client who likes to go do the Santa Monica stairs because there's firemen there, so you can think, maybe it's a hotel bar. It could be the golf course. Wherever you like the women that go there, you probably already noticed. You've been in town for a little while where the cute girls hang out, right? Plant yourself somewhere for 45 minutes to an hour. Go alone, bring a book, bring a phone, whatever. Then you do your flirting from that position. You have a better opportunity because you're seated. You can have someone join you, right? You can approach. If you decide to go masculine and somebody returns the 5 seconds of eye contact and smile, then you can approach. And don't make a big deal, out of what you say. Say something cherishing. The masculine leads with thoughts and cherishes feelings. The feminine leads with feelings and respects thoughts. So pick one and then leave. But you wouldn't, if you pick the feelings, you wouldn't be the first to speak. So I'm just telling you the masculine right now. If you pick, let's say you pick the thoughts, then you'd be the first to speak. Hey, I think that's a lovely sweater, right? Do something that will make her feel good. If you notice she looks cold, say, oh, let me get the door, right? Then close the door. She'll be warmer. Think about what it means to cherish a woman's feelings. If you decide to do it from the feminine, which is fine. I work with plenty of, especially here in LA, because there's a ton of masculine women and feminine men, because we have the movie business here. So we have a lot of male actors who, when you create off your feminine. Women create off their masculine. That's the concept of the anima and the animus, which was developed by Carl Jung. But regardless, if you want to go from the feminine, you give the 5 seconds of eye contact and smile, and then you wait to be approached. But you can kind of put yourself in the way. So, you could ask for help. That would be a caveat. That would be an exception where if you wanted to approach first asking for help, you would still be in the feminine. But if you're in, otherwise you have, if you're in the feminine, you have to just give the eye contact and smile and then just wait to be approached. So that's possible too. There's a lot of masculine women out there and they will approach if they like the look of you and the look of your smile and your eye contact. A lot of flirting comes down to the eye contact. And I find that flirting in person tends to be a little more effective than the apps just because you're like one step ahead. On the apps, you have to swipe, you have to match, then you have to talk. Then, until you meet in person, you don't know if you have chemistry. I don't care how good looking you are, So chemistry is a gift from God. You either have it or you don't. And sometimes you have it for people who even you know aren't good looking, or you have it for people who, who don't make sense. You have it for people you don't even know, someone sitting next to you in church, right? So, until you meet in person, you don't know if you have chemistry. And chemistry is one of the essential elements of a relationship. I call it the three C's: chemistry, compatibility, and communication. So that's why I prefer the in-person. But try those out. Do you think you can do that?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
let me know how it goes. Please come back and let us know how it goes.
okay, I sure will.
Okay.
God willing.
Okay, good. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure.
Oop, sorry. Okay. Juliet.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Juliet. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been so interesting listening to everyone's questions and
I know, I love
learning
that
a
too.
lot.
Yeah, we learn really fast in a group. I mean, I love doing privates, then we can go really deep, but we tend to also learn, really fast in a group because people we think we have nothing in common with, once they start talking, we're like, holy shit. That's my
Yeah,
issue.
so I have kind of a similar situation that was previously spoken about, but the thing is that I dated my ex-boyfriend for about 7 years. We've been separated for probably 7 years now.
Okay.
And he still calls me on a regular basis, sometimes
What do you
every
mean?
2 weeks, sometimes every day, sometimes multiple times a
Boy.
day.
Okay, that's a lot.
And it's been hard to move forward because I get confused and I think, okay, well, maybe we're making progress. Maybe we can get back together. And then he calls me his friend. And I'm like, what the hell is going
So it
on?
seems like he keeps like, I would call this clit teasing. He keeps checking back with you to see if you're available for him still. And once he gets that you are, he can check out again for a little while. And then he senses that you're pulling away because he probably knows you real well now. And so he reaches out again. So he's messing with you.
Yeah,
I
and
like
I know.
clean breaks. It's very unrealistic to have a friendship with someone you've been romantic with, especially without a break in between and falling in love with somebody else. You want to try to be friends with him after you've fallen in love with somebody else? Okay, we'll try it. I don't know if your new boyfriend's gonna want your ex around, but is he gonna show up to your wedding? Like, let's be real. He's your ex for a reason. Do you want to be back with him?
I mean, no.
Okay, then let's not keep wasting time with him. He's draining your energy.
He is draining my energy. It's been so hard to let him go. Like I've blocked him several times and then I keep on blocking him, thinking that it's gonna be different. Like there was 3 months where I completely blocked him and I didn't answer him, and it was kind of a relief. It was like, okay, I think my life is moving forward now. And
Yeah.
then after those 3 months, I unblocked him and he came back to me and he was like, he didn't even miss a beat. He was like, oh, hey, how are you? Like, he wasn't even angry that I
Right.
blocked
Okay.
him
So
or.
sometimes we do that because we think we need to be there in case he changes, right? But let me tell you something, you don't. If he changes, it will be so obvious you will not be able to ignore it. It won't be just a call, it'll be like a dramatic thing. You're just starting to do this work and you can already see it's like a big deal, right? Like, you have to do things, you have to think about things, gonna go through things. It's very obvious when someone's changing and doing the work. So you don't need to wait around and see. You will know. So trust in that. You're not missing anything. He's draining your energy and he's taking up space in your life, and it's preventing you from meeting someone else.
So how do I
Loneliness is
block
going to
them?
be a beacon to the right person. You need to be a little lonely. If you're not lonely, why would you be motivated to meet somebody? So he's a security blanket, but he's not even that great because he's not that secure.
No.
And he's not a friend. So let's just forget about that for now.
Yeah,
He's
he's
not a
not.
friend, he's not a boyfriend. You don't need, you can block him, do whatever you want, just don't respond to him.
Okay.
And if he keeps going and he keeps going and he keeps going and you want to say something, you can say, you can keep reaching out, but I'm not going to respond. I'm moving on now. I wish you all the best. And then don't respond and stay by your word. It's going to be hard, but it's also going to build your self-esteem and it's going to force you to level up for the next guy. Because right now you're treading water. And I promise every one of my clients, if you do this work, either the relationship will work out and get better, or you will find someone better. So you're like in a position right now where you have a really good opportunity to level up and ditch this guy. And I just want to see you do it. Because ultimately, I just want to see you guys fall in love and be happy and be with your person. That's what really makes me happy. So yeah, you've had 7 years of this. People are patterns. He hasn't changed. He probably won't change. I'm not going to rule it out completely, but if he changes, he will reach out to you. You will find out. But in the meantime, let's move on with Juliet's life and get what you want. Deal?
Deal. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And that's such a good question because, a lot of times we hang on to these things because it's hard and we're scared to be alone. And that's why, I think it's important to understand, look, we're here on Earth. People call this purgatory. There's pain here. There's not going to be any pleasure without pain. That's the duality of this existence. Meaning, you're going to have pain either way. You're going to have pain if you stay in contact with him or pain if you don't stay in contact with him. So let's do the pain that's the right thing for you, the stoic choice. I love this. There's a great book by Epictetus about Stoicism. Also, Marcus Aurelius' Meditations by Forstater is really good. But this work, and actually, the writings of Ben Franklin also, there's a lot of Stoic messages in there. Okay, if there's no more questions, I will wrap this up. You guys can usually find me here on a Thursday night here on Meetup. I also teach this work in smaller groups, some of them live, some of them asynchronously. But that would, meaning the group would be live, or you would do it on your own, and we can still meet live in the asynchronous version. It's just that you don't meet live with a whole group. But that's the module packages link. I've already talked about my books. I usually put up original content on TikTok and Instagram every day. So feel free to explore and reach out. And if I don't hear from you, I'll see you next week. Have a good night.